Hello and welcome back to another installment of Verse by Verse Bible Teaching. This is an outreach ministry of the Washing Word. We are a Christian-based hand car washing business located in Churchill on Highway 11W. We're in the Palace Shopping Center, and there, me and my wife, Victoria, we own and operate this business. We do it as a means of income so that we can support this ministry and our family and, of course, this business. We use this format as a way of getting God's Word out there. And there are several ways you can hear these messages. You can come to the Washing Word and turn on to 107.1 FM. You can hear them in your car while you're in the parking lot or waiting to get your car washed. You can hear them while you're sitting in the waiting room while we do your car. You can also hear them at 8:30 Monday through Friday in the morning on WMCH 1260 AM. And finally, you can go to washingword.com, and there we have all of our archived messages available for the downloading and listening for free. And let's get back into our Bible teaching. We, again, are a verse-by-verse ministry, and so we pick up where we left off. And we left off in chapter 12 of the Gospel of John, and we had just looked at how Jesus was entered. This was the triumphal entry. He's come into Jerusalem, and the expectations of the crowd did not meet the things that Jesus eventually had done. And so we talked about how they turned quickly. And if your expectations are not proper, you too are going to turn on what you expected the Lord to do. And a lot of the Bible talks about a great apostasy at the end of days. And what that means is there's a lot of people who claim to be Christians are going to turn away from the faith at the end of time, during those tribulation days, or even right up before them. And the reason for this is because the majority of the Christian-based churches have gotten away from preaching God's Word in all of its entirety. It's become a cherry-picked, rarely introduced theme in the church services. And as a result, people are getting half messages, half of the gospel. They're getting small sections of scripture. And when the screws start to get tightened, they're not going to be able to fall upon the foundational teachings and truth of the entirety of God's Word, and thus the great apostasy will be upon us. And so we teach verse by verse so that you as a listener will not fall victim to what this crowd has fallen victim to, and that is false expectations. And when their expectations of what Jesus was going to do began to wane, they went from Hosanna, which means save us, to crucify him within a week. And we left off with talking about how the crowd who was with Jesus during Lazarus' time was out there, and they were spreading the name of Jesus. They were spreading the gospel of Jesus, because when you're with Jesus, when you witness what is going on in the world because of Christ and what's going on in your own life, you cannot help speak about the name of Jesus. And so this is where we're going to pick it up today. I encourage you to listen to the last couple of messages by going to thewashingword.com and downloading them from there. Let's take a look at verse 20 in chapter 12, Gospel of John. Now, there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the feast. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." And Philip went to tell Andrew, and Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." All right, let's stop right there, because that's a potent statement. Because how many times in our study of the Gospel of John have we heard, "My time has not yet come"? And now we see for the first time Jesus saying, "The hour has come." And so these men that wanted to see Jesus, they sought out Philip. But these weren't Jews. These were Greeks. They were Greek proselytes. And that is that they have converted from their non-Jewish backgrounds to Judaism. And this was the third Passover of Jesus' ministry. And even if these proselytes had attended the other Passovers, Jesus was not as big publicly as he was, you know, in those previous years. He wasn't as big as he is now. My point is this: why did they seek Philip? Why didn't they seek Jesus? And how did they know that Philip had a backstage pass, as it were? You know, when you go to these concerts or, you know, these shows, there are certain people who have all access passes, backstage passes. These are usually friends of the performers, and, you know, it's people that are close to the performer, and they get these backstage passes. Well, I want to answer it by saying this. Just like in our last message, we talked about true disciples. They cannot but talk about Jesus. Well, the same could be said about a true disciple. They cannot help but to look different than others. In other words, a true disciple, by virtue of being a true disciple, is going to look differently than other people. You see, Philip was a follower of Christ, and his life showed it. It's a testament to what Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, in the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. So I have a question. If you were in a room full of people, would someone seek you out to ask you about Jesus because you obviously have been with him? That's a tough and self-inflicting question. We want to answer that where we say yes, but if we truly looked at our lives, can we answer that question? Can we say that in a crowd room full of crowded people, would someone single us out as Christians just based on the way that we act? I've known people that you can just see it in their faces and the things that they say and how they say them. There's something about them. And so even if these Greeks had seen Philip with Jesus before, you know, and they knew he was a disciple, I don't think it had anything to do with radiance or glow or countenance or even speech. So the question remains, would someone approach you to talk about Jesus because they had previously seen you with him? I guess what I'm trying to say is would somebody approach you, even if you weren't talking about Jesus and you weren't showing some radiant glow, but they approached you just because they knew you'd been with him before? But let's consider these Greeks for just a second. You know, these Greeks who turned Jewish, something drew them to the Jewish faith. You know, even before Jesus came, people became proselytes. Something drew them to the Passover, these Greeks. Something drew them to Philip, and something drew them to Jesus. And may I submit to you, brothers and sisters, that the Holy Spirit is alive and well. The Holy Spirit still is drawing people to Christ. It's like Christians need a postcard from beyond, from the Holy Spirit. You know, hi, hope all is well. I'm doing great. Still kicking around, still working, and I am still alive. You know, you ever get a quick postcard, just somebody dropping you a note, letting them know that everything is fine? There are so many Christians running around who I think need a Holy Spirit postcard just to remind them that, hey, the Holy Spirit's still doing his job. And you're just an extension of that Holy Spirit. You see, the Spirit is going to draw people to the words of truth with or without you. And then you are still there to act as a liaison, in a sense. People are still being drawn, and your best lure has nothing to do with you. Because, and I've said this before, the more time you spend with Jesus, the more you will begin to emulate him. And the more of Jesus that shines through you, the more people will be drawn to the cross. I'm going to say that again. The more time you spend with Jesus, the more you will begin to emulate him. And the more of Jesus that shines through you, the more people will be drawn to the cross. The conclusion, and another one of those whopper of application points, spend time with Jesus. You know, that's it. There isn't a theological bombshell in every message that I preach or every verse of the Bible doesn't come attached with a theological bomb. Sometimes it's the simple little things that we just need to be reminded of. There, sometimes it's just a postcard from beyond, if you will, reminding us that, hey, don't forget, this is really simple, but it's really important. Spend time with Jesus. The Holy Spirit is alive and well. And Jesus says, my time has now come. The hour has now come. And just a quick side note, and I don't think it's coincidence, but here we see the first Greek people who are worshiping Jesus and worshiping at the feast. It's probably happened before. Like I said, proselytes were something that was that went on a lot back in that day. But here in the gospel is the first time we see it. And the moment we see the Greeks worshiping at the feast, Jesus' hour had come. Why do I make that connection? Because think about it. When Christ died, he died for the world. He essentially gave the Gentiles, that is, you and I, not Jewish people, whoever is not Jewish is a Gentile, he gave us the ability to share in the inheritance of Abraham. And I don't think it's a coincidence that we see here the first mention of Greeks coming to worship and Jesus' hour coming to fruition. Pretty cool, huh? Verse 24 says, I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My father will honor the one who serves me. And now, just think about that as we stop there. Jesus is talking to Philip and Andrew. And remember, this is the first and quite possibly the second disciple. And for them, they have an ownership in this movement of Christ. You know, they could sit there and say, hey, I knew him when. You know, I was there when. And these two disciples, Andrew for sure being the first one, and again, quite possibly Philip being the second, they have been privy to everything since the very beginning and right up to the very end. And these two verses, verse 25 specifically, can be used as a barometer of your relationship with Jesus. I'll read 25 again. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. And again, this can be used as a barometer for your relationship with Jesus. Let's face it, human nature says grab what you need and preserve your life at all costs. And Jesus isn't saying here, don't have any respect for your life or take your own life or kill yourself so that you can produce fruit, you know, the whole wheat seed falling to the ground. No, the reference is to himself. He's saying that unless I die, there can be no resurrection. There can be no eternal glory of man and man's soul. Now, that's not to say there may be a time where you give up your life for Christ. Ask Cassie Burnell of the Columbine shooting, or ask the passengers of Flight 93, or ask Stephen in the book of Acts. You know, sometimes physical death is how we glorify Jesus. But Jesus is saying you don't have to do that. What Jesus is saying is, simply put, more of me and less of you. Less of you, more fruit. And Jesus says, and we're going to close with this, and we're going to also start with this in our next message, whoever serves me must follow me. Does that raise any flags to you out there listening? Whoever serves me must follow me. Wait a minute, Jesus, you got that backwards. Jesus made a mistake. There it is, the first mistake in the Bible. Jesus said, whoever serves me must follow me. No, Jesus, you meant to say, whoever follows me must serve me. But is that what he says? No. And we're going to look at that interesting paradox as we begin our next message tomorrow. Well, you have a blessed day. Come by the Wash and Word. Let us take care of your car. Come by the washandword.com website. Find out everything you need to know about this ministry and this business, and also to listen to more of these messages if you care to. Have a blessed day.